Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
A very good evening. It's 2 minutes after 8 o'clock. Thank you so much for being with us. My name is Pimelo Mutina and I'm back. And thank you so much for holding the fort. Sepiso Makwetla, who was here and standing in, and Katlego Sekgotho, I really appreciate that. And thank you for staying with us. So lots coming up on the show. We're going to be speaking to Funzi Ngubeni from Action SA. Everybody's talking about that GNU. You know what I'm talking about, Government of National Unity. Others absolutely refuting the fact that it is a government of national unity, saying we're talking about a grand coalition. And I'm sure you have an opinion on this as well. I'd really love to hear your take on this. 086 000 0059. So let it be an open conversation. I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to be speaking to various political parties. I want to hear where they stand with this at the moment. I know, as I was saying to Kuku, lots of negotiations happening at the moment. So a lot of moving parts. I can tell you now, don't bet your bottom dollar on anything for now. Until they come out and tell you something, do not be too sure. So we will play it by ear and we will bring it to you as it happens. I want to start here. I want to start with Brett Herron, who's a Good Party Secretary General, on the line with us. And thank you very much, Mr. Herron, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, Pamela. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We've just seen the statement from yourselves as Good Party. You're part of the GNU now?
Yes, Pamela, we've signed the statement of intent, which sets out the principles and the minimum governing program. And this was after we met with the ANC's negotiating team last week on Sunday, made our own input, saw that our input had been accommodated. And really, we are, there's nothing in the document that I think, certainly from Good's perspective, would preclude us from pursuing a national dialogue and a government of national unity. And I would imagine it's very hard for many parties to say that there's anything in that document that would preclude it.
What are the inputs that you wanted to be included?
We made several inputs. I mean, firstly, around the minimum government program or even the principles. We raised the absence in the first presentation that was made to us of the security, of social security, was an adequate social security net. Those who followed our campaign would know that we'd campaigned quite strongly on adequate social security to meet the Section 27 socioeconomic rights of South Africans. And that was then subsequently included in the document. We also addressed spatial transformation or the integration of our cities and towns. And that was then included. We spoke about the capable and ethical state and whether the administration that underpins a government of national unity would be able to deliver on the governing program. And we see that that's been accommodated. So that is some of the stuff we spoke about. And also really the language of the document, which I think still needs some work. We wanted the language to really communicate to South Africans what this government of national unity would aim to achieve in less political jargon.
So explain this to us, Mr. Herron. How does it work? You spoke only to the ANC. Is there a plan for all the collaborators at this point to sit down and actually be on the same page? How will it work? I see that they've included others as well, other political parties. So will you get an opportunity to sit down together?
That's my understanding of the process. I mean, this is a statement of intent that we've signed. So the starting point was really an invitation from the ANC to meet, as they certainly invited other parties, because when we arrived at the meeting venue, we saw other parties either coming or going. The ANC were the conveners of this process around the GNU. Ultimately, there will be a national dialogue which will include political parties, civil society, labor, business, to iron out a national compact and a policy plan for this government of national unity. So I think we really view this as the first step in the process towards establishing a government of national unity. There's also a commitment to holding a lechotla, or a strategy session, where all the parties will come together and iron out a agreed policy agenda and identify the policy priorities.
So let's talk about some of the things that were put out there in the statement of intent. Did you discuss anything further than just your intention to collaborate? Did you discuss positions? Did you discuss what else was in that discussion?
So in our discussion with the ANC, we didn't raise positions, and we certainly didn't demand any positions, and we didn't sign the statements of intent in return for positions. In November last year, we held our national conference, and we adopted a policy on coalitions. And that policy really guides how our party will approach coalitions, and it guided our discussions with the ANC, which was really to focus on a governing agenda rather than a haggling over positions. So unlike some other parties who've said if they're not a minister, they don't get ministries, they're out of the government of national unity, we didn't discuss positions, and we didn't sign the document in return for positions. The document itself indicates that there will be sharing of positions in the legislature and in the executive in proportion to seats. We only have one seat in the National Assembly, so we don't have any expectations, and we didn't make any demands around positions.
So you didn't make any demands, nor do you have expectations. What do they want from you, apart from working together and sitting down together at some point, collaborating on a strategy? As you said, there will be a lechotla and so on, and policy plans. You know, the leader of Good Party has been quite an important voice as an opposition. I'm wondering whether this now makes her mute.
We have to still iron out what happens next. But let me say that what I think was important for us was the context in which this government of national unity was framed, and it is framed in the document. Mm-hmm. And that is that we went through a election that to some extent polarized and divided South Africans. And the premise or the context for forming a government of national unity was to try and find some social cohesion, to try and prevent further polarization of South Africans, to try and prevent polarization around race, around tribalism. The context for us participating was really, really spoke to our own agenda, which was to try and unite South Africans mm-hmm. around a program that addresses, first of all, our history, without pretending our history doesn't exist, but to fix those imbalances and those injustices that have not yet been fully addressed, mm-hmm. And to try and create a South Africa that is not polarized and not divided by politics and by politicians, and certainly not along racial lines. So mm-hmm. we were attracted by a sense of unity and a sense of common purpose, mm-hmm. understanding that there will always be differences, but if we can try and build a South African unity, that is really what was the opening gambit mm-hmm. from the ANC side, and it spoke directly to what we had been championing in the election campaign.
And I can comfortably see how this would make sense alongside the ANC, but in this is also the DA. And when you speak about a polarized nation and we needing to deal with social cohesion, issues of race and so on, at what point did the political parties, or hopefully maybe this is going to happen, take responsibility for the manner in which they conducted themselves in creating this polarization leading up to the elections?
Well, that's a very good point, and to some extent, it is a point we raised in our discussions with the ANC, that this document we hadn't seen the document. They were presenting it orally to us, mm-hmm. their principles and their minimum program and the context, and we were able to respond by saying that, you know, what you're saying sits very comfortably with Good and where we stand in the political spectrum and the way we conducted ourselves in this campaign, which was not to polarize. Mm. But there are parties, and we said there are parties that you're speaking to who are driving this polarization. and who do not support many of the things, the transformational things that you're talking about, and how are we going to come together in a government of national unity, or how are we going to unite South Africa when you, the ANC, are also talking to parties like, for example, the DA, who do not support transformation of our economy in terms of triple B, double E, etc. So we did ask the ANC if there are any red lines that and how we would deal with them. So those are things that I think the Slagotla will have to iron out, because there are certainly ideological differences within this GNU.
And going into this, and of course, as you're saying, this is still very, very early days. What concerns you the most? As you said, we've just spoken about one that ideologically you may really not be seeing eye to eye with others. Issue of language, and you spoke about language in relation to perhaps what's in the document that was only read to you that you have not seen. Language in how political parties are going to engage with their own constituencies, because again, that very polarization came through quite a bit when people were rallying outside with their, you know, with their T-shirts and so on leading up to the elections. And I'd say some of that language was quite irresponsible.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't take any...
And that's not to say that's the conduct of good, by the way. You do understand what I'm saying. I'm saying your comfort.
No, I do understand.
Yeah,
I mean, our comfort, and that's why we raised the issue that we raised, that there are parties that will have to account for or have to adjust their language and their campaign style and their campaigning if they support the document that we ultimately saw. Because when we met with the ANC last Sunday, there was no document. Mm. But the document was presented to us on Friday.
Okay.
And then we signed it on Saturday. But you know, the document is not marked. There's no marked difference other than things that we included or asked to be included. So the document really does capture the discussion that we had with the ANC. And I do raise the question as to how some parties, like the DA, who did drive, I think, a polarizing campaign, mm-hmm. How they will accommodate both this government of national unity and the unity, uniting of South Africans, regardless of race, and how they will abandon maybe their focus on targeting minority voters and start seeing themselves as part of the South African project. And then, I mean, some of the more specific stuff is, I mean, the document talks about transforming our society. And when I was in the DA, I was once told by the DA that transformation is a swear word.
Mm.
So I think that they will have greater difficulty in accommodating this minimum program and some of the founding principles than a party like Goodwood.
So the document that you eventually got, was it already a document signed by others, or was it just a document signed by the two parties, the ANC and Good Party?
So we were sent a signing page. So we can only assume that it is the document that all parties have got, because we wouldn't obviously be able to sign a document that other parties have signed a different version of. So I'm assuming that all the parties have signed this document. I did see on social media today that that Helen Ziller from the DA indicated,
yes,
that they signed it shortly before the speaker was elected on Friday. So it seems like the document was round-robined and started with the Democratic Alliance, maybe because they were the largest party in terms of seats in the proposed government of national unity. So I'm assuming that we all have the same document and we've all signed the same document.
And that's exactly the point I'm raising. Whether we're all comfortable that the document that you received is similar to the document that, as you said, there was a round robin that was going on, that the DA actually signed, because they got the first document and you had amended, or at least asked for the ANC to add some little things. Is it the same document, you think?
I think it must be the same document. Otherwise, the whole project must surely be dead in the water. I mean, if we've got a document that includes things that we wanted, in a government, would like to see in a government a national unity based on our policy positions and the foundational policies of good, and other parties don't have it, then the government of national unity can't work. It can only work if the same document has been seen by all the parties have agreed to pursue this national dialogue in order to establish some government that is unifying. Mm. If the other parties have received a different document that has stuff that we wouldn't feel comfortable with, that would be astounding and obviously a breach of good faith.
Mm. How does this document bind you? Is it a binding document?
It isn't a binding document. And, I mean, it is an issue that I raised in our discussions with the ANC that, you know, these coalition agreements are really political agreements, and how do we make it enforceable? How do we make sure that parties who lost it wake up in the morning and say, I don't feel like this anymore, can't just exit? And there was talk of making it into a law, and we know the lawmaking process can take 18 months to 2 years. There was a proposal to make it a court order, but I don't think that, as a lawyer, I wouldn't think that would work, because to get to a court order, you first need to dispute. Mm-hmm. This is an agreement, so it's not a binding document, and any party, as I read it currently, could exit at any time, including good, if we go through a national dialogue or a Lehotla and come out at the other end with things that are fundamentally offensive to our constituency.
And how then do you deal with misconduct? Is it mentioned in the document?
There is mention of a political committee to deal with disputes. So the parties that are represented in the government of national unity would have formed some committee that would resolve disputes, which there's no use of the word misconduct, but I assume that a dispute could arise out of misconduct, or a party that does something or says something or acts out of the spirit or the letter of this agreement.
Are there political parties that you, as good, would not be keen to see in this government of national unity?
We have never, since we formed, and certainly since coalitions became topical, which was after the 2021 elections, everybody was talking about coalitions at a provincial and a national level, or the possibility of them. We've never said that there's a party that we would refuse to work with. And we now have a document that could almost be the good party's manifesto in the way it is written. So we are bound by this agreement, and any other party that accepts this agreement and agrees that this is the program of action for the seventh democratically elected government, which, again, like the first one, although under different circumstances, the government of national unity, any party that agrees to this governing minimum government program and these principles and the context within which this document is drafted, which makes up the preamble of the agreement, we could work with.
Okay. So, and then I asked the question because the MK party, perhaps, as the ANC says, they've been in talks with them, and, you know, everybody says there are ongoing talks. So you really wouldn't be shaken by any of those developments because you're committed to this document, and so you stand by this document for now.
We are committed to this document and the principles and the governing program, the modalities of the government. So if MK Party was to sign on to this document and agree with these minimum programs of priorities and the principles of the government of national unity, there would be no reason for us to say, well, we can't work with MK.
Can I just take a break, if you don't mind? I need to take a quick spot break. And when I come back, I will probably wrap with you. Brett Herron is from the Good Party. He's a Secretary General there. When we continue, and I'm very happy to take your calls, by the way, 086-000-00959. Your comments. We had the leader of the Good Party here not so long ago, if you remember. We had a really lengthy conversation. We spoke about the manifesto. And as we stand now, they're saying they've just signed a statement of intent. This statement of intent is between themselves, the ANC. The ANC released a statement earlier on today saying they have now other parties that have joined this government of national unity, and they too have signed the statement of intent. And so far, we're sitting with the DA, the ANC, the IFP, the Good Party, and the Patriotic Alliance as we stand. So we just wanted to get the Good Party's take on why they've joined this government of national unity and their position on all the developments so far. I'll continue with them in a short while. Brett Herron is the Good Party Secretary General on the line with us. They released a statement earlier on today just informing the media about the signed documents between themselves with the ANC, and the ANC itself also released a document, a press release telling us that they have signed with the four other parties in the government of national unity. It's called a statement of intent is what they're referring to now. Mr. Herron, thanks again for staying with us. Just perhaps maybe your overall intention with this, the one seat, and you say, you know, it is one seat. Yes, it is one seat, but you know, the leader of the Good Party is not someone that is unknown. It's not someone that's inexperienced. It's someone who has been quite vocal and quite, in fact, quite impactful. Your representation in Parliament this time around, what's your main objective?
I think the main objective is to continue what we started in 2019. Unfortunately, we lost a seat, and so we had two seats in the 2019 term of office. But it is to continue to work for a South Africa that addresses the unfinished business of apartheid and colonialism, which has left the majority of South Africans trapped in poverty, excluded from the social and economic fabric of South Africa. And that is not the South Africa that we envisaged in 1994. And 30 years later, while a lot has changed in South Africa, there are still the vast majority of South Africans live in poverty and do have not at all tasted the fruits of our democracy. So if I could sum it up in the simplest terms, it is to fix the imbalances and the injustices of our society, which are rooted in our past without pretending that the past didn't exist. Mm. And in that context, there is a lot to be done in South Africa, and we will play our part either as backbenchers in the government of national unity or in some role that that is agreed upon in the future. But the role that the position that we hold in this government of national unity is largely irrelevant when we are pursuing a society that is fair and just, and which is what we envisaged in 1994.
What would have to change? Because when you look at the makeup for now, as I said, for now, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. For now, when you look at the makeup of the parties that are now in the government of national unity, barring perhaps the PA, these are parties that have been around for the past 30 years, also excluding yourselves as a Good Party. What would have to change for the fundamentals that you've just addressed now to be in place? Because, you know, one wonders whether the political parties that are the bigger parties in this formation actually have what it takes to make those things happen.
I think that what will have to change is, first of all, there needs to be some sort of awakening and some recognition by the political leaders of this country that that the society that we live in is not normal, and that we have, as South Africans, the resources, the human resources, the financial resources to address that abnormality and to make South Africa a fairer, a more just place. So it's going to take political will that I think has been flagging or sort of relaxing with complacency. And it's going to take a restructuring of our budget so that poverty alleviation in the form of Social Security is addressed. We can't keep talking about things like basic income grants, which both the ANC and Good Party championed during the campaign. So it's going to take some political will, some awakening to the abnormality of our society. And from a government perspective, it's going to take a fundamental restructuring of our budget to prioritize the things that will change our society.
I really appreciate your time, Brett Herron. Thank you so much for making time for us. He is the Good Party Secretary General, just giving us an update on their conversations with the ANC. And they did say that they have now signed a statement of intent. That's a document we believe is going around, doing a round robin with the DA, Good Party, Patriotic Alliance, as well as with the, it's a Good Party, Patriotic Alliance, and the IFP. So the ANC will keep updating us on who exactly is joining. As things stand, it's five political parties now signing a statement of intent in the Government of National Unity.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.